Become a member of the Bluegrass Music Association of Canada, the BMAC. With your membership, you'll receive a quarterly full-color Bluegrass Canada magazine, as well as have access to the Bluegrass Canada website. Your membership will also allow you to contribute to the nomination process of the Canadian Bluegrass Music Hall of Fame. Help BMAC promote bluegrass artists with up-to-date information, including band members, performance locations, and helpful advice for bands wishing to travel to the USA. And finally, it will allow you to access information for festivals and events across Canada, bluegrass radio listings, organization partnerships, and a resource library for all things bluegrass. To learn more, log on to bluegrasscanada.org or call Mike Higgins at membership at 905-567-4708.
Close it be. And The closer. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? No, I talk like a Jamaican. I'm not a Jamaican. I'm Bajan. Come close. Closer to it all.
You tuned in to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. I'm your host, Issa Arian, and we do this every Tuesday, 10 to 11, coming off the backs of Crimes and Treasons and the best music show in Vancouver. Just really feeling this Karaoke Closer to Me track. Been listening to it for all week. And we're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, Squamish Nation's territory. Here live from the most western part of the Lower Mainland, here from deep in the woods in Pacific Spirit Park, here on from UBC's campus. Just something about this song just makes me feel like, you know, this is the kind of summer vibe, you know, that I'm into. I feel like this is the summertime vibe that, you know, you kind of have to grow into, you know. Like, I feel like, you know, it's like a jazz fest. Nice. You know, less, not light beer, maybe, you know, get a nice cocktail, you know. Maybe you have to have like a shaker in your backpack. It's not just like a wine, you know. You got to have like a nice shaker, you know, some garnish, you know, maybe some lemon zest. That's how I feel, you know. That maybe that's the type of summer, you know. It's the type of summer that is going to be for me, you know. Especially as you you know, some things that you have to think about as you turn 36. You know, my birthday's in a few weeks. So, you know, you got to think about, you know, what kind of old man do you want to be? And you don't just wake up one day old, you know. You have to develop, you know, maturity over time. And so, you know, for me, you know, a big part of me and the type of old man that I envision of myself is the type of music that I listen to. And it's not just you know, there's something about, I learned this from my stepfather, you know, there's something about just finding your groove and sticking to it. And, you know, when you learn from people, you learn from the good, you learn from the challenges, you know, you learn it. You'll always want to be learning. So, you know, kind of finding that groove and making, you know, sticking to it and being, and like, you know, that's for me what I learned, what cool is. And so, Kokoro, very cool music. Anyways, listen, if you never joined, you never been here before, you never tuned in to Off the Beaten Path, you're in for a treat. What we like to do here is we talk about, you know, this is a conversation. Think of this as a couch. Whether you are riding in your car, hope your seats are comfortable, maybe you're sitting on your couch, you know, think of this as me and you. This is me, you, and the other listeners just vibing, listening to some nice music, trying to catch up on what's going on in the week, what's going on here in the Lower Mainland, what's going on here in BC, what's going on here in Canada, what's going on here. Sometimes we take it out of space. Sometimes we take it to the ethereal dimension. You know, sometimes we're talking about layers. Sometimes we get deep, you know, into the earth's core, into your core, to my core. Try to understand, you know, just this silly little ridiculous dangerous ass world that we live in, and you know, just trying to figure it out, because there's no path, right? You know, we're all walking our own. We all see the things how we see them. You know, what looks like a path to me looks like an absolute nothing to you. And so, you know, we have to you know, honor ourselves, honor our thoughts, kind of as we kind of move through. And yeah, so what's going on over here? What's going on over here with me? First off, if you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. You know, you can call in and tell us something that you're looking forward to this summer. Tell us something that you think is particularly special about the summertime and something that you can't wait for. For me, I'll start with me. One, I feel like this summer is a special one. Every summer is special because for me, if you make it to the summer, you make it to the summer relatively healthy. You're entering the summer with a body and you got a summer body. You know what I mean? For me, this Friday, I leave for 2 weeks to sail around Vancouver Island. So really excited about that. It'll be my third time doing this particular sailing race, but my first time doing the complete circumnavigation. And so for me, I'm just really looking forward to, I feel like we talk about this every year, how I'm in post ambition. Like my ambition becomes lesser and lesser. Like I see, I sometimes I'll get up in the morning, I walk to the beach and I see, you know, some older men sitting at the beach or walking, you know, shuffling around, you know, just making it through. And I'm just like, you know what? They look like they got it made. You know, they look like they got it figured out. And then sometimes I see some old people shuffling around and I'm like, you know, I don't know about that one. But for me, you just kind of have to, I don't, just got to do what your body can do. And so I'm feeling very inspired, you know, to just kind of do the full circumnavigation. Pretty excited. Sailing is a lot of sitting, but it's like very active. You know, it's a very active way to take your mind and your body out of kind of your regular routine and put yourself in a situation that is sometimes dangerous, is sometimes a little scary. A lot of times it's a lot of fun. It's, you know, you get some sunshine. I'm sure I will burn. But I'm just really looking forward to just kind of like stepping away from, I feel, you know, the grind of everyday work, you know, figuring out what you're going to eat. If you're going to work, getting to work, you know, some bullshit pops up at work, you know, understanding that. Like I found that sailing is just kind of, you know, a practice of problem solving over and over and over and over again. And I'm looking forward to really taking part of that and kind of removing myself from the everyday. But that also means that I won't be here for the next 2 weeks, which I felt was, for me, you know, I really love doing the show. Love, you know, talking about the things that's going on in the world, talking about this, sharing, you know, hearing people calling and So, you know, also, you know, it's just, it'd be just nice to get away. But what I'm looking forward to in the summertime is I feel like the sun had just started to get really hot. I feel like the sun just started to get really hot, and I am looking forward to going to Wreck Beach. I'm looking forward to spending a lot of time at the beach this summertime. I was just reading a Reddit post about how people feel like there's more perverts there. I'm like, you know, one thing about becoming an old man and liking to go to places like Wreck Beach is now, you know, you got, we talk about this all the time, but part of community is part of what are you willing to give to your community? And what am I is making sure when I'm around, there's no creeps around, you know, I think that's very important. There has been a lot of conversation, I feel like, on the internet this past week about this importance and this, or this kind of acknowledgement that if men are doing, because it's always men who are the creeps at Wreck Beach. It's like, I've never in my life have I seen a woman down at Wreck Beach. And there probably are, but never in my life have I seen it. And I don't, and it's always men. Seen a woman posted up with their camera out trying to take sneak naked pictures of people. Never have I seen that from a woman. It's always a man. And I think that the part of the conversation this past week is that it is men's responsibility to be policing other men, particularly their friends and the people who they come in encounter with. You know, it's our responsibility collectively to make sure that we can limit the types of transgressions and the amount of transgressions that happen on a day to day. And that doesn't mean just kind of at the beach and, you know, in a clothing optional space, but also in everyday. And there has been some push. There has been like a conversation around it, which I think is absolutely ridiculous because, well, one is just, Who's if not you, then who? If not me, if not now, then when? You know what I mean? I find that to be, you know, kind of a major sticking point. It's like, well, if I'm not going to do it, then who else is going to do it? You know, so it becomes your responsibility to the community. And then also, I think part of that acknowledgement, I'm part of the quiet part that's not being said from these men who are arguing. You know, it's not all men. I'm not one of those. I'm not one of the problem. I'm not, you know, I'm not the creep. So why should I have to stand up? You know, it's that those men are scared of those other men. You know what I mean? Like that. That's the thing, is that a lot of men are scared of a lot of men. A lot of men are scared of their friends. You know, I find that I have had, you know, I've been in some situations in my life where people have needed to be confronted about behavior. Friends of mine have needed to be confronted about behavior. And I am, I don't say grateful, but I feel like I've always been in the right place where I have me or some friends that I have had are always willing to step up and say something and do something. Like, I feel like, I don't know what it would feel like to be friends or to be around people who didn't feel comfortable or confident or really have what it takes to stand up, you know, kind of in those situations. And I find that to be very important, especially for the types of people that you want to hang out with. But I find that it's important to do that to strangers as well. It's important to do that to strangers, you know, it's important to stand up for and against strangers all the time. I feel like that's something that we see, something that we see every day kind of in the macro, and it's important to understand that we can also take these positions in the micro. And one of those things is that, like, if you go to the beach and you see people being harassed at the beach, especially, like, if you like to go to Wreck Beach and you like the atmosphere that is there. Listen, the atmosphere and things like that and culture and stuff, those things don't happen by accident. They are intentional actions of groups and groups of people over time that establish norms. And so if we continue, I say, you know, I haven't been to Wreck Beach, but this is clearly a complaint from this past weekend, that if we continue as a group of people to continue to let these things slide, you know, people creeping on people at the beach or people, what we have essentially done is accepted that this is the new cultural norms of which we want to establish. And if you don't want those norms to be established, then you must do something to counteract that. And so I think that one of the things, I just talked myself into this, so one of the things I'm looking forward to in the summertime is being a lot more intentional about my actions, particularly when it comes to strangers, looking out for people. I saw somebody today with a big ass knife on Main Street, and you know, asked them, were they okay? And they said yes, but I didn't really know what to do. I'm like, do I call the police? No, I don't know if the police are better, but I mean, you got to do something. And one of those things, you know, just to talk to the person who had the knife and see, you know, it's kind of what they had going on. Like, you know, and you just got to listen. You got to give what you get. And if you want community, you got to be willing to give it. Or, you know, how bad do you want it? Anyways, when we come back, I have I got a lot of new music here. The time is going by pretty quick because I was not going to be on until 10:45 just because the bus kind of leaves quite early. And I still need to get ready. Anyways, when we come back, I got some new music for you. Actually, when we come back, I got some funny stories for you. Right now, I got some good music for you. Some new NX Worries, Anderson .Paak, and Knowledge. The song is very short, so stay tuned. But I hope you like it. Called 86 Centra.
Is the top five lister, double S drifter, separate sipping, and you know I came with it. If she cute with the lips shut and tits like missiles, act right, you can get the Nissan Sentra, nickel nine gripper for all you jack rippers. The driver inside got a license to hit ya. Hop up out the pot and get your top rhyme licked up. We survive shit, you can only catch a whiff of. Locked in way before the top 10, when I had the mutton chop shades in the wide brim, on a different way that I came in the game on. When I levitate, grab my sneakers and hang on. Young, but I still got sons in the game, but they not like the one with a dot in his name. If it's locking, it's gotta be knowledge. You made it the wildest applause when we hop on these stages. Go on, get your Teflon vest on. But once we let off this track list, that shit gon' blow your chest off. When the last time that you heard a sound this hard? Compliments and knowledge in the motherfucking. And we can go toe to toe, anyone you know, young or old, to get drove in the hearses. I just did the Super Bowl halftime show with the GOATs. Why the fuck would I wanna do with verses? That's like comparing T-ball to the MLB. Y'all out of your league, we not the same person. I'll be doing this till I'm about 86, old as a bitch, holding my dick fucking on the nurses. Give me a reader, I'ma open my legs.
Sometimes it just skips, but Anderson .Paak wasn't going to let me know when the song was over. Listen, one margarita could have a very interesting summertime, you know? So one of the things that I was looking at before I came on, which was, I had a much funnier opening to this story, but I blew it early because Vancouver Mayor Ken Sim taking the Drake route and suing a former chief of staff for defamation. The mayor accuses Kareem Allam, businessman, of lying on him. And I So what happens is Vancouver Mayor Sim has filed a lawsuit against two people, including his former chief of staff, over alleged defamatory comments that claimed he had been pulled over by police for driving under the influence and used his position to cover it up. Now, I just feel like I guess I've never really heard of a defamation lawsuit that was like, obviously I don't know like normal people who have defamation lawsuits. Like, people get lied on all the time. Never heard of a defamation lawsuit, just because I don't hang out. I'm just like not kin of anybody who's big enough where like the lies matter, or at least where you would just kind of sue about them. However, I feel like if you sue your former chief of staff, like, there clearly used to be some level of trust there. And so for me, I don't actually care whether Ken Sim got a DUI and used the position to cover it up. What I'm in there is for is trying to understand, where did the Kareem and Kim beef start? You know, because like, I feel like if you choose somebody to be your chief of staff, that is a big deal. And that person is probably one of your most trusted associates. And so if you say that this person is defaming you and lying on you, they very well might be. But I feel like the person who's your chief of staff, if they are lying on you, would be doing it for a good reason. I want to hear the reason. Or they're not lying and you're suing them because it's true. I'm never going to follow this story enough where we find out whether Ken Sim wins his lawsuit or not. Because for me, the fact that you have to sue your best, like if I had to sue my best friend for lying, people are already going to know. Listen, Issa, there's some shit that's going on. Like, I would prefer to just air out the drama than sue my best friend. You know, like, I feel like that is, just air out the drama. Just say, well, you know, yeah, Kareem's got beef because of X, you know. This is why I fired his ass, and he's now trying to get me back. No lawsuit needed. Did I get a DUI? No comment. But Kareem, he's got a bone. You know, put it back on him. Once you say I'm a sue, you take the Drake route. Drake sues Kendrick Lamar. Listen, I listened to every single track in that beef the day it came out. Once Drake sued, Drake lost. Ken Sim, you should have went to the school of Drake and Kendrick Lamar. You would have known that Ken Sim, you lost. Like, Ken Sim, he's losing, but the problem is, at the end of the day, people like him always win. You know what I mean? Like that, like people, like, listen, we talked about this last week on the show. These people don't go get new jobs. They don't go get jobs. Ken Sim was working in development before. He's not going to be the mayor anymore. He just has more connections. He's going to go back into development. It is not going to matter, except for the fact that he will never. I find it hard to believe that he makes another case for public service. So, listen, one of the things we do on this show is talk about housing, we talk about drugs, we talk about homelessness, we talk about, you know, kind of the major issues that Vancouver has as a city, and really trying to understand, you know, kind of, I mean, we understand where the problems lie, but making sure that these things are, you know, consistently talked about and kept up, because there are problems that persist every day. Listen, I saw the best advertisement for crack in my life today. I talk about this all the time, just kind of like how people are. Like, I'm like, how could you see the people who smoke crack, or people who, you know, who use fentanyl, or people who, you know, use heroin? You're just walking down the downtown east side, and you're like, how could you see that? And then, you know, decide to, you know, this would be my first. I want to try it one time. because I was on the, I took the bus to work today and I got off the bus and I'm on Main and, Pender, and I'm walking down, I'm walking north, and I see a guy take the longest hit of a crack pipe. And then you would have thought he did the Joey Bautista bat flip the way he put his hands up, spun around, and I was like, wow. He looks like he's having a good time. Anyways, so the thing is, we know that we have a lot of things going on in this city that could use a lot of help. But you know what Vancouver as a city thinks that we need? More fucking signs. They think we need more signs. So I don't know if you've seen this, but if you've been on 4th Avenue, was that 4th and U? If you've been on 4th and U, you've seen the new Kitsilano sign. It's got like four directions, one point to Wreck Beach, one to Jericho Beach, one to Kids Beach, one to Burnaby or whatever the fuck. It looks like some old 1950s Simpsons-esque sign. And then there is the city voted to install a giant $1 million Vancouver sign along the waterfront. The Vancouver Council's approved the funding for a sign 14 meters long, 2 meters tall in Coal Harbor. And for $1 million, tourists can take pictures in front of these signs. The city council voted 10-1 to approve the city's portion of the cost. $300,000 in capital costs, $50,000 a year in operating costs. And it's going basically right next to, right between the Pan Pacific and the convention center where the cruise ships come in. And listen, it'll be $1 million sign. Listen, like, one, I don't think that people like I've been a tourist to the city before. Like, I've been a tourist to the city before. There's a lot of signs in Vancouver. There was a lot of signs in here when I first came here in 2012. Never did I take a picture in front of the sign and be like, this is what I came to see Vancouver for. Vancouver is not that type of city. They should remove the sign. I don't understand why they need the sign when they got the mountains in the back. Like, people come here for the fucking mountains, not for the damn sign. And then this sign in Kits, which was put up by, famed CEO Chip Wilson, who says that Vancouver needs a little bit more, you know, Vancouver used to be, Kitsilano used to be counterculture, and it used to be a little bit, you know, rebel and cool, and so we need to bring that back. And this is Chip Wilson. This is the same Chip Wilson who got my favorite restaurant, the most unique restaurant in Vancouver, removed from the building. Doc Lunch used to be at 11th and Main. Chip Wilson bought the building and then removed the tenant who used to run Doc Lunch. Doc Lunch was literally, like, I don't know if you could envision a more, like, iconic, counterculture, you know, quirky restaurant. And Chip Wilson, in my mind, replaced that real live, you know, an institution for me with some dumbass sign. And so, listen, I don't know. Like, I don't know what's worked. I don't know. Listen, like, I feel like running for city council in Vancouver would be so easy, especially if you just ran on the shit that people cared about, which is why do our public parks cost so much money to park at? Why do our public parks cost so much money to park at? Why can't we enjoy our parks for free without being harassed by goddamn Easy Park? And then I refuse to spend any money on signs. Frivolous signs that are not for the people who live here. Because, like, yes, I'm sure some signs are necessary. Stop signs, street signs, maybe bike lane signs would be really helpful. What other signs would be helpful? I can't think of any. Those are the ones, the stop signs, street signs, maybe some yield signs, maybe some speed bumps somewhere. I can't even think of a place where a speed bump is necessary, but I'm sure there's a place. But a sign for Vancouver and a kid sign, some whimsical kid sign. Listen, I almost promise that money, I guarantee that money could be used better. Listen, I took the bus from work today. Well, I actually took the bus from a Lapu Lapu festival fundraiser to, because people are still raising money for the people who are impacted. Like, that's not something that just kind of goes away. And so I'm taking the bus, reading about these signs as I head to the radio station, and I'm passing Granville Strip. The Granville Strip has 14 empty storefronts. That's not including Nordstrom's. That's not including the Bay. Just 14 empty storefronts. Listen, we are struggling to even keep the signs on the buildings, and yet we are saying fuck it and buying new signs to put so that cruise ship people can get out and be like, oh, wow, I'm in Vancouver. Like they didn't already fucking know that. Sorry. These signs really pissed me off just because I found, like, what a colossal waste of money. Like, even as we talk about, like, $1 million, you know, 2025, is $1 million a lot of money to me? Absolutely. Like, $1 million to me will never not be a lot of money. Even though you can barely buy a bachelor studio apartment here in Vancouver, $1 million, $1 million will never not be a lot of money. Like, I think it's still crazy that you can't, that like, if you make six figures, you're basically, like, that's like, I mean, obviously that's a lot of money because it's more, way, you know, almost double the median household income for a single person. But it's also not that much money. But $1 million never not be that much money. Anyways, so if you see one of these signs, just remember that, you know, once I become a citizen, you'll have somebody who will fight tooth and nail so that we don't spend any more money on those things anymore. But listen, I got some good music for you when we come back. Well, I got some good music for you, but when we come back, I got some bad news. And by bad news, I mean, it's not bad news for us. By us, I mean me, but it might be bad news for you. Let me come back.
Giant Reese swinging a hammer, ran it up, driving up spikes on the graph. I run faster than the machine. When I finally die, I'ma need more than one casket.
I'm on a block like Ola with candy. I'm by the water, the shore, and the sand. Top of the line, I spill over the edge. I saw through the line, can't go for the scan.
Out of the spotlight, living the soft life. I see some hard times off in the ass.
Falling my right foot all on the gas. So hard to surprise them that I didn't crash. Yeah. Niggas might die trying to follow the path. Niggas fall out when they hop on the track.
I got done bad, I ain't giving no passes. They ain't spin back once we got that established. Last key mad with stashing the mattress. I was just passionate, passing for mad. I was in the backseat. See hope in the cash, ain't heard the whip cracking.
And woke up the master, we still everywhere, broken glass. We get weed going, just don't look back. The moral of the story is get off your ass. We hitting the road and they block the camera.
More for the sport than the glory attached. I'm showing the quarters off course to the labyrinth. What does my fortune afforded today? The torn Rick Owens, I'm throwing attention. They ask for a photo, I pose like I'm handsome. Cause I'm handsome and I understand that. Full extortion moves just like my granddad. Then we portion it up on the land grab, nigga.
Sinking boat, it's all going down and we're
You're back at Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR. That's CITR.ca if you, you know, if you want to tell a friend who does, who is not in a car and you need them to tune in. Because, you know, I really like that song. It's one of my, probably one of my favorite songs of the past year. You know, why should I worry about rocking a sinking boat? And I got thrown off because I think it's important to why you should worry about rocking a sinking boat, because you should continue to rock it till it sinks. No, I mean, you know, that, or plug it up, or, you know, throw the captain off. Try to figure out why it's, why it is sinking. I think that we are seeing sinking ships around us all, kind of everywhere. And what we're, what we're doing is people are just watching them sink, and because they don't think, they think that, you know, as the boat sinks down, it'll hit the ground and their feet won't get wet. And that's not that, that's not how it works. Listen, as someone who's been on a sinking boat, you got to do everything that you can to make sure that the boat doesn't sink, even if it saves people that you don't like. Because one of the things that I know that we talked about this from the beginning, particularly as it pertains to Wreck Beach, and as I see it as our collective responsibility to make sure that, one, it's a place, you know, every place, like, we need things to remain sacred. Like, I find that there is something about, like, the encroachment of sacred, like, on sacred spaces. And when I mean sacred spaces, I mean, it's not just, like, obviously, just, like, it's just a new beach, you know, like that. Like, it's, like, but, like, I find that there's nowhere that you can go that people just automatically just, you know, just treat with respect because it, it inherently requires people to act a certain way around it. Like, I went to, today, went for a short walk from the office to Dr. Setyun's Park, you know, the park where, kind of right in the middle of the city, and being able to, it's really nice to just be able to go there and walk around the park and walk around the gardens and just kind of, like, be there. And I find that, like, you know, there's not very many places that we consider to be sacred, and those sacred things have to be protected. And some, and it's not just like we just, they just are, you know, like, it is, takes effort. And so, and sometimes those places are far away. Like, I mean, it's, you know, or it's just close, like your own spirit, like your own body, your own spirit. Those, that is something also that needs to be protected and, you know, and thought about in that way. You know, listen, I watched this morning, I watched a video of people in Palestine having to wait in line for aid, wait in line, you know, in those barricades in what looked like 45 degree weather, having to wait for just food, just, you know, day after day of stories of people starving. Like, you just can't, you can't look at pictures of the Gaza Strip and not just all, just assume that people are starving. Like, you just have to assume, how are people living there? Like, when I find, when I see reports that Israel has bombed more people, I'm like, where? Where? Because the Gaza Strip's only like 20 miles long. Like, I'm just like, that's insane that they're continuing to just pummel these people. And that shit is still going on. And it's finally nice that, like, people, you're seeing more and more celebrities and more people with voices continue to talk up. But what you're not seeing is there's any movement. Like, I'm reading a book right now called The Classroom in the Cell, Conversation of Black Life in America, between Mumia Abu-Jamal and Mark Lamont Hill. And they're talking about Palestine in this book written in 2009. This book is written in 2009, talking about the Palestinian conflict and how it relates to the Black American struggle, and how this has been like that since the beginning of Israeli settlement of Palestine. And so, and like, it is our collective responsibility to continue to talk about these types of things, because what people don't understand is that we will all drown. Like, we are all going to drown. if we don't. And so it remains to be important. So that's why you should care about rocking Singing Bogue, because you should rock it until we all drown. Either, listen, we're all fucked up. We're all going to be worse off. Yeah. And so that kind of leads me, because I saw a story in the CBC about Vuyo Gendizna, who is a student who moved here from who moved to Canada, moved to Regina from, where did he move from? He doesn't even talk about where he moved from. Well, basically, he moved to Regina, took a stand-up class. Somebody asked him, could he make a joke about referencing African-Americans and racism? And then that's when he found out at the ripe age of 20 years old that he was black. And it's, for me, I mean, it's very interesting to be feeling, to, as a black American, feel very connected to Africa and this Pan-African. I was raised as a Pan-African. And seeing, you know, seeing our struggle, seeing their struggle in me and my struggle in them. However, I could only imagine, like, I love being black. Like, for me, being black, top one thing in my life. You know, it's like, it's really only, it's top one thing. However, finding out that you're black at 20 has got to be top three bad things. Like, I can only imagine, you know, like, like just finding out, just like, oh shit, because once you find out, you can't unsee it, you know, like that. I'm sure, you know, this individual, like, he talks about the story, and I have a lot more questions for him than I would ask. Kind of, I got a lot more questions than I would ask on the radio, you know. But the idea that finding out that you're black, and then, you know, what do you do with that information? You got a lot of catching up. You know, how do you accept that? It's just, what an interesting conundrum, you know, to be in. I'm glad that I never had to go through that, because, you know, I was born black. I live black, and I'm going to die that way. But, like, you know, once you've been accepted into, you've been welcomed into this, I'll say it's into this blessing, you know, then you gotta stand here. Anyways, trying to think of, like, what's the last story we should end with? Listen, there's some wild shit going on in the world. Some wild things going on. Wild things going on. I'll end with the positive one. So, about a week ago, this man has gone viral for sailing from Oregon, on the Oregon coast, to Hawaii with just him and his cat. You know, he was welcomed by the Hawaii Governor Josh Green, welcomed at the Waikiki Yacht Club in Oahu. People cheered him on. And, like, listen, I am... You know, you listen to the show, you know that I don't like people enjoying things. I don't like really people enjoying the little things. But, and I'm a hater in my heart. Like, I'm hating a little bit. But, you know, it's just nice to see that some people, it's nice to see things that can be done. Because you have dreams for yourself. I have dreams for myself. And, you know, some of them involve sailing across the ocean. And what you see is that, listen, you can quit your job any day and you can just go do that. Because not just because somebody else has done it, just because people have been doing it. Like, he did that. Oliver Widger. And people have been doing that for a long time. So, you know, it is nice to see a warm welcome. You know, that not everybody gets that. Anyways, listen, think about over the next 2 weeks while I'm gone, think about some of the ways that you can help your community from sinking, because listen, we all need some help, and listen, and it won't get any easier if we wait. With that, I'm out, and we'll see you on the 17th.